This podcast is sponsored by IQ Bar.
I've got good news and bad news. Here's the bad news. Most protein bars are packed with sugar and unpronounceable ingredients. The good news? There's a better option. I'm Will, and I created IQ Bar Plant Protein Bars to empower doers like you with clean, delicious, low-sugar brain and body fuel. IQ Bars are packed with 12 grams of protein, brain nutrients like magnesium and lion's mane, and zero weird stuff. And right now, you can get 20% off all IQ Bar products, plus free shipping. Try our delicious IQ Bar sampler pack with 7 plant protein bars, 4 hydration mixes, and 4 enhanced coffee sticks. Clean ingredients, amazing taste, and you'll love how you feel. Refuel smarter, hydrate harder, caffeinate larger with IQ Bar.
Go to eatiqbar.com and enter code BAR20 to get 20% off all IQ Bar products, plus free shipping. Again, go to eatiqbar.com and enter code BAR20.
This is Coffee with Timmy. Happy New Year, everyone. Welcome back to Coffee with Timmy. So we're going to start the year with a bang in more ways than one. Today I've got with me a gentleman that I met during the year last year, and I've been chasing him to be able to get this interview done. The name is Linda Siboto, and he's from the Eastern Cape in South Africa. Is one of the owners of Chiba. Chiba is a company that's got different subsidiaries under them. I'm trying not to give away what it is about, but probably that's not working because you've seen the title of this episode. So Chiba has got a consulting academy training, and they also sell stuff, and it's all about cannabis. Yes, we're starting the year with a bang. It's about cannabis. I had to read up on this, and like most people, I thought cannabis was drugs. You know, when I say drugs, we are high on something and all of that. And it was quite interesting for me to find out the different parts of it. There is the CBD, which I see all over Santin, and I'm always like, why are you selling drugs at the mall? And then there's this TCH, all of which we will get into, but first let's let him introduce himself, and then we'll get it from there. Hi, Linda.
Hey, how are you doing?
I'm good. So finally, we're here.
Yes,
we're probably here. 1 year or more.
Wow, I apologize.
Yeah, it's fine. So Chiba is run by 3 of you.
Yes.
Who are your partners?
Yeah, so our company is Chiba Africa. Mm-hmm. And the 3 partners are myself, Linda Siboto, Trenton Birch, and Bianca Mkaza.
Okay.
Makaza.
Okay.
Makaza. Because my wife's name is Makaza, so
okay.
I got confused. So yeah, we've been running the business now. I think we're entering our 5th year of running it. And yeah, it's been a very interesting journey entering, you know, and pioneering education around cannabis. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it's been something that we've been very passionate about. And very recently, the last, I think, 2 years, we moved up here to Johannesburg to establish where we are now at our campus.
Oh, where were you before?
We were in Cape Town, but we were on an online platform there.
Okay.
And then originally, before coming to Rivonia, we were in Vereeniging here in Jan. Well, I don't know if Vereeniging is the Free State or not, but
I think it's just on the border.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So we were there. We did have a partnership with the school there, and then we moved here because we wanted to be more centralized.
Okay.
It's a bit far out that side.
Okay.
Yeah.
Why cannabis?
So firstly, in 2018, there was a court ruling, or not a court ruling, it was the Concord ruled that it was unconstitutional for South Africans not to be allowed to consume cannabis because Rastafarians, for example, it's part of their birthright or it's part of
their religion.
Yeah, mm-hmm. So basically they said, okay, well, it's unconstitutional now because if we live in a constitutional South Africa, you should be allowed people to practice their religious practices without harming any other people. So in 2018, there was a ruling that basically state that South Africans would be, well, not a ruling, but the Constitutional Court stated that it was unconstitutional not to allow South Africans to consume cannabis for their own private use. And okay. Therefore, that was that. And so then the Constitutional Court handed it over to the government to then create the law that would then govern how cannabis would be treated within our South African system or South African judiciary. So that sparked interest in us. So all three of the partners have educational backgrounds. In terms of, I've got an NPO, the wife and I started, which is in Khayelitsha, which is looking at educating the youth and supporting them with maths, English, and extracurricular activity. We have a yacht club, you know, that we started, and now we've got students who go all over the world now, sailing. So that's sort of my background in that. And then Bianca and Trenton both, well, Trenton is a founder of Bridges for Music, which is based in Langa Township in Cape Town. Okay. And then also he started, is one of the partners of SAE, which is a multimedia company, which was actually focused on education. So animation, music, etc. So he's got a very strong background in building schools.
Okay.
And so when this happened in 2018, and then we thought, okay, well, if there's going to be a need to people to have education around cannabis, because it's going to be something that can sort of grow the economy and then also help heal the people because of its non-toxic abilities.
We're going to get to that.
So that basically sparked off that thinking, and then we created a platform, online platform. But at first, initially, if I take a step back before that, we had what you call cannabis craft sessions. So those videos are on YouTube, where we would have talking sessions where people would talk about how cannabis has impacted them, and you know, and then also get professionals such as lawyers, doctors, etc. We could also speak on the medical side of things, and then legal things, etc. And then we had a website, and then on the website, we basically offered a training, online training and education. So from medical and then to actual growing, and then now it's just expanded to actual physical workshops and courses, etc., since we have the space.
Okay.
And so yeah, that's why cannabis.
that's not really why cannabis, because you could have picked any topic, any other thing to talk about or to teach about.
Yeah.
But why cannabis?
So firstly, both my parents died from cancer.
Okay.
They both went for chemotherapy, and they both went for radiation, you know, all of the stuff that people will doctors will prescribe, or what they're legally allowed to prescribe.
Mm-hmm.
But through the research, after my parents died, I'd stumbled upon cannabis, but I didn't really understand it. I didn't know it. And in fact, when my mom died, literally a weekend before my mom died, I had found out that there was some serum that you could get, some black tar. Mm-hmm. Don't know where to get that. Don't know, but it was very expensive, about 5,000-6,000 rand for a small syringe.
Mm-hmm.
And my mom had been in pain for so many years, and also she'd been hiding that. And the doctors hadn't, only thing they were doing is giving her more chemo, and that was really it.
Yeah.
And so that weekend, I was going to go buy the stuff and then get it to my mom, but then she died. So then that opened up a thinking in my mind on, okay, well, if both my parents died, myself and my brother, are also partial to potentially developing cancer, mm-hmm. if this is what if it's in the family. So because of that, I figured people need to understand and know that after I've done my own research, that this is an option that you can have besides going for chemo and radiation. That's not to say that you must stop it, but there are people now that we have come in contact with who are part of our company and who are partners of ours who have cured people using certain methodologies and having cannabis as a supplement.
Okay.
So that's the bigger reason as to why. But then also in terms of what cannabis can do for our economy is mind-blowing. Because literally everything that you see now, so your plastics, your oil, the textile industry, you can all convert that or supplement hemp, industrial cannabis into that, which I guess we're going to get into that.
Yes, we're going to get into. So before we get into the not so interesting part, let's talk cannabis. So from my reading,
yes,
there is two different kinds of components that comes out of
it.
Yeah. So it's the CBD and then the TCH.
Right.
The CBD, I'm going to try and pronounce it. Nobody sent me a message that I didn't say it properly. Cannabidiol. It's a CBD.
Yeah.
So this is not intoxicating.
No.
And it's also not euphoric. So
no.
I'm not going to be dancing on the table
it. No.
But it's also psychoactive. I didn't understand why. When I hear psycho, you know, I'm thinking, okay, that's crazy.
Yeah.
So how does that work?
So what, CBD or THC?
CBD, no, let's talk CBD first.
So CBD, so firstly, those are the two major cannabinoids in the plant. But there's over 200 or so, and they keep on finding more of
minor cannabinoids. Yes, from what I understand, this is the two that have been identified and have been really, really studied. Yeah. But quite a lot of
there's a whole bunch of stuff.
So let's talk CBD.
So CBD itself, look, this is quite, it's a political thing. It depends on how you view it. So they say that CBD is the medicinal part of the plant, which doesn't have any psychoactive attributes. So it doesn't make you hallucinate or whatever the case may be when you're on cannabis. And then the other cannabinoid is THC, which is the psychoactive part of it.
Okay.
But if you talk to any person or any doctor that's been working seriously with cannabis, they'll let you know of a term called the entourage effect, which basically says that you need...
Comes along with it.
You need the whole plant in order to induce the actual medical aspect of it. So you can't just isolate and separate CBD alone, or you take out THC. You need the whole plant in order to do that. But because we live in a world where humans dictate what is medicine and what is not medicine, therefore, they cannot understand why this whole plant can do that, why you can't isolate it. So, for example, if you're taking paracetamol, there's a certain isolate that you take on that, and any other kind of medication. So then it makes sense to them, like this is what this does, and it does it to you. But now, how does this whole plant do that? No, we can't have that. So then they separate it. Okay, there's CBD, that's for medical, THC, psychoactive. But in reality, you need the whole plant. And you don't have to consume it, you don't have to smoke it, you can take suppositories, you can do creams. So if people are worried about the psychoactive part of it, you can eliminate that by having all the different delivery methodologies.
But if it's on my skin, I take it and it's on my skin, wouldn't that go directly into my bloodstream?
No, it won't. Because there's a thing that's called depoxylation, and that's basically what happens when you change the THC. When the plant is there, and it's growing, you can take it and eat it and nothing's going to happen to you, because what you need to do is you need heat in order to create the actual chemical reaction.
So that's why you smoke?
That's why people smoke, 100%. Okay. And that's why smoking creates that euphoria. Mm-hmm. But otherwise, if you had to just eat it, it wouldn't do anything.
Nothing happened.
So if you can make it into creams, you can make it into all kinds of stuff, and then even if it does go through your bloodstream, nothing will happen. Because you haven't activated the THC to do the psychoactive part of it. And then also, when you're talking about suppositories, because that's another way of people who have prostate cancer, that's what my dad died from. If women are having chronic period pains, etc., then you can use a suppository, which bypasses going through your digestive system, etc. So then you don't get that the psychoactive part of it. So you can go on your normal day and then have a suppository, and it's doing its work whilst that's happening. So I have a few people that I know that have used that methodology. If that's what they're worried about,
Actually, in my mind now, I'm remembering, I'm having a picture of one or two people on the street where I grew up who are always mellow. You know, we used to call them Brother Mellow because they were always mellow. And we knew they were taking Indian M. That was it. That was what was called. It was when I got here that, is Daga the same thing?
Yeah.
So at home, it was Indian M. And we just used to call them Brother Mellow. You know, they never fought with anyone. And now that I've... No more. Well, the more I grew up, I was like, what are they taking? Why are they taking heroin? We know, because I had to read on, I was curious. In my early 20s, I was very curious about all of these things, about things, just things. And from what I understand, India M, you're really like, it's like more like a downer. No, sorry, not India M. Heroin is more like a downer, and you're just kind of mellow, but then crack is the hyperactive and all of that. So I wasn't sure what Brother Mello was taking. But I knew they were just they were just fine with everybody and life was good. Okay, so now it's good for pain, from what I read. It's also, I had watched, I think I told you about it, but I've not found it again. It was the black tar. There was a documentary on a family that had some funny genetic thing that happened to their boys. Only the men at the age of two, they just become like in a rubber state. Their whole body just kind of start drooping.
Okay.
I can't remember. I need to find it again. Anyway, so it was this black tar that the parents heard about and went and they got this thing, but they were not allowed to bring it. You see, that's what I'm saying. It's moved so, we've moved from, it's criminal, you're thrown in jail, you can't grow, now you can grow, and now you are teaching people about it. Wow. Okay, so let's go to, when they see CBD, because it's sold in Santon.
Yes, that's correct.
So what is in it? I've not bought it. I've been curious. I'm telling you, my curiosity knows no bound. And I've been like, I want to taste this thing. But I don't know what's in it. So what is in the CBD they said? Because from what you're saying now, you need a bit of everything in the plant for it to actually work.
Yeah, but legally, they won't have any THC in there.
Okay.
So the legislation, the way it's set, you need to... You can't trade in any cannabis products that have THC in it, which is the psychoactive part of it.
This podcast is sponsored by IQ Bar.
I've got good news and bad news. Here's the bad news. Most protein bars are packed with sugar and unpronounceable ingredients. The good news? There's a better option. I'm Will, and I created IQ Bar plant protein bars to empower doers like you with clean, delicious, low-sugar brain and body fuel. IQ bars are packed with 12 grams of protein, brain nutrients like magnesium and lion's mane, and zero weird stuff. And right now, you can get 20% off all IQ bar products, plus free shipping. Try our delicious IQ bar sampler pack with 7 plant protein bars, 4 hydration mixes, and 4 enhanced coffee sticks. Clean ingredients, amazing taste, and you'll love how you feel. Refuel smarter, hydrate harder, caffeinate larger with IQ bar.
Go to eatiqbar.com and enter code BAR20 to get 20% off all IQ Bar products, plus free shipping. Again, go to eatiqbar.com and enter code BAR20.
So basically what you're seeing in Santon, it's either an isolate, they call it an isolate of the CBD. So whether it's cream, it's in water, or it's in juice, whatever, it's benign in the sense that it doesn't really do anything. And also the other challenge is that there's SAHPRA, which is the regulator that regulates medicines in South Africa. They've basically put in a limitation of how much CBD can be contained in a container.
Okay.
So you can't, they limit to a certain amount that you can't take. But the biggest challenge with that is that it has no medical efficacy if it's at that low dosage. So it actually doesn't do anything, to be honest. So a lot of people will spend lots of money buying CBD products from, you know, the different pharmacies, pharmaceutical chains, and then they'll say after a while, this doesn't really help me buy anything, you know? And that's because you've taken an isolate, which is also, doesn't have the full plant extract, but then also on top of that, it's the dosage that you've taken, which is low.
Okay.
So if you speak to anyone that's worked, any medical doctor, we've got one who's part of our board, and he says for you to really have a positive medical impact from taking just CBD, you need about 70 milligrams of it, as opposed to the whatever small percentage that you get at the shops.
Oh,
like
dear.
5 or 2, it's like...
So what if you're taking CBD for medicinal purpose?
Yes.
Where are you going to get the full milligram that you need?
So there is an option now that's been given to South Africans, known as a Section 21 patient. So Section 21 means that you can now get cannabis flower prescribed to you by a doctor, and even some medical aids even pay for it now.
Okay.
So there you'll get your THC, you'll get your CBD, you'll get the whole...
But where do you go and get the plants? It's not like you can go into a
shop.
No,
you won't get the plant, but you'll get either the drops or you'll either get the creams, etc., which will be dispensed to you either online, you can get it online, with tested, with certification, etc., or you can go and pick it up at a dispensary where there'll be flowers.
So there are dispensaries for...
Oh, yeah. There's a lot. There's a lot popping up all over there. There's legal ones and then there's illegal ones.
Uh-huh, okay.
So you must...
Please be careful. Don't say, Temi said, we can go buy it. I'm not saying go grow it. I'm asking, you know, the questions so that we're getting educated right now.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So if you've got chronic pain and you're prescribed...
Yeah.
A CBD oil or whatever, you have to go to you can go into a pharmacy and you get what you need. Not any pharmacy. Because I'm just thinking.
For now, doctors wouldn't prescribe CBD. because, you know, like it's not really something that they would prescribe, because there's a whole other debate there, you know, pharmaceutical industry versus natural, you know, so I don't want to get into that. I don't want to get killed, sued, you know, because that's what they'll do.
Yeah.
But normally, what homeopath, for example.
Yes, I was going to say that.
Homeopaths might be people that can prescribe it to you if you go to them. And then, you know, you can come to me and I know some people that can help you and assist you.
See, and so now I know people who know people.
Yeah, exactly. So if you need CBD with THC, you know, that's something that should be legalized and allowed for people to take it, especially that the research has been, there's over 4,000 papers that have been written about cannabis and its cures and its remedies, and also for its cancer fighting ability. And still we're not prescribing it to
So what's the whole point of the thing by the Constitutional Court?
Yes.
What is the whole point if it still cannot be prescribed? If we still cannot buy it?
Yeah.
So what was the whole point of the decision?
That's a good question. Because the challenge is that constitutionally you can consume if you're of age, but in terms of trading, we've been waiting since 2018 for the government to basically make a decision about how they're going to do this. We had COVID and a whole bunch of other stuff. Delay. Now the private purposes bill, which was based on this ruling of 2018, now has been basically accepted by the government, by the court. So now the legislation has been set, the parameters of what you can and can't do with it, and then now the next part will be the commercialization, and then that's where this will take in. So it's basically the legal framework, and how government only works as fast as it wants to. So that's basically the situation. So I guess it starts with, okay, this is what we would like you to put into law. Then the people who do that think about it, talk about it, debate it, you know, and then it becomes something that can actually be presented as actual law. Yeah.
Okay, I have two questions now. So one, I also read that I don't know why it's called Indian M in Nigeria. I don't know whether they are different variations. But M apparently has no THC. Is that correct?
It does, but it depends on the percentage. So whether it's 0-2%, so the reason why they say it won't have THC is because it's
so low.
It's so low that it doesn't really do anything.
Okay. Bramello, so I forgive you now.
That's also like dependent on what the genetic is, because you've got certain genetics which are bred for high THC, but that would be the full-on cannabis plant, not the hemp one. And then the hemp genetic is basically cannabis, but it's just that it's got a lower THC. But you can't. You can't really determine if it's going to be, I mean, if you grow hemp here in South Africa, because of the way our sun operates and the way it radiates so much, we're not sure if it'll go 5 or 6%, 0%, but it's still pretty low.
So what kind of weather is good for growing?
Cannabis.
Yes.
It really depends what you're trying to do and what the outcomes are. So for example, you can grow indoors, which you mimic the outdoors. You know, there's cannabis for medicine, you know, and then that has a specific criteria in which you grow it. But also the methodology can differ. But the end result is you want this thing to have a high THC content or a high CBD or CBG or CBV, like all the different things. And then with hemp, there's certain seasons that you can grow hemp, especially because industrial hemp, the hemp thing is a long, I mean, I think people should come to the course.
But, yes, we are going to get it. Don't give everything away.
The certain times of the year, if you're growing a hemp outdoors, because you want it to be a certain height. And so the certain number of days of sunlight, and also when the water
is. Okay, so we're going into the technical part of it. And because Linda runs a school, I don't want him to give all the courses away.
Must pay for
it. Have to pay and come in for the classes. But like, what part of the world grows the most cannabis? Are we going into illegal activity? Let's leave it.
Pretty much,
let's not talk about Bruno. Let's talk about Bruno thing with my daughter. Anything you want to say, don't talk about Bruno. So you've taken me around. I've gone around your office, your campus. And it's interesting what I'm learning today. From what I see, the plant itself, there's so many things that can come from the one plant.
Yes.
There are bricks.
Yes.
When I say bricks, I'm going to let him explain. So there are bricks.
Mm-hmm.
There is the oil. You can get the oil.
Mm-hmm.
You can get capsules out of it.
Yes.
You can obviously smoke it.
Yes.
Tell us about the bricks, because it's for building. It's bricks for building.
That's
okay,
correct.
Tell us about the bricks.
It's also plastered bricks. So essentially, I think this knowledge was founded like eons ago. Like it's nothing new.
Yeah,
you know,
the plants are not new.
Exactly. Yeah. It's as long as humankind. So the bricks themselves. So there's a hotel in South Africa in Cape Town.
Mm-hmm.
That's probably the tallest building in the world that is composited with hemp. So there's parts of
it. Do we get high if you're going to the hotel?
Not at all. Because it's hemp.
I like to think when you sleep and you wake up, you're just like mellow.
No. Unfortunately, no. You know. But there is material which is derived from the plant. So the actual plant itself, when you treat it a certain way, you then can use it to build actual bricks. And in France, they're using it a lot to make houses, and I mean, they've been doing it for a long time there.
Mm-hmm.
And so you can use it as plaster, etc. Because a lot of our practices in the architectural sector, agricultural sector, etc., it's really, really poor, and it really reflects badly on the economy, and then also of the economy of the ecology of a place. So when you use, for example, hemp bricks instead of cement bricks, then you're limiting sort of like your impact, your harmful impact to the environment.
Okay.
So because it's all naturally derived.
Mm-hmm.
So you basically take the stalk of the plant, you then decorticate it, which is the terminology, and then you place it in lime, which is also mine. You can get lime from the earth, and then you mix it in water and you leave it to harden in 2 or 3 days and compress it, and then it makes a brick.
It's a bit like the, as an educator, as you're talking, I'm thinking of when we make all this paper mache for the kids.
Yeah.
I got to soak the paper in water and put the glue and all of this process. Okay, but one thing that you didn't mention that you did tell me, it cannot stand on its own. So you've got to have a frame.
Yes. Uh-huh. Yeah. So for the bricks, they're not load bearing, as the term is. So they'll put like a frame or so on. But what we've seen in other, like in France, what they're doing is they're doing a lot of plastering using hemp.
Okay.
So instead, they'll put like the structure and then they'll just coat it on, and then it just will sit there.
Okay.
And the benefits for that is that it's non-toxic, you know, and then also it's absorbent in terms of microbes, so you will never get mold growing on it. And then also it regulates temperature, so you if it's hot then it will be cold inside, if it's cold then it will be hot. And we think it will be very beneficial for South Africa to start building RDP houses.
I was just going to say that would be quite cheap.
And also you wait 4 months to harvest, you know, so you don't have to wait so long, you know, and you can build a house within a couple of days as opposed to a couple of years.
How long does it take to grow?
4 months. But also, it depends what it is that you're growing for. So if you want really high
stocks,
then maybe you'll grow a little bit longer, six months or so on. But then if you're going for other things, 4 months is usually the...
So worst case scenario, you can harvest twice a year
100%,
or 3 times a year?
100%, yeah.
And depending on the scale of your farm, you can...
Yeah.
You can build a house, okay,
100%.
Something like that.
Yeah,
100%. Oh wow!
Yeah,
so I see
thousands of hectares.
Okay,
know, yeah.
But I see now when you were saying about the economy, I was thinking, huh, we're gonna go around high, all of us, okay?
Yeah. No,
not sure about the economy, but I see now. So it's work. It's a farm work for someone.
Yeah,
it's work in making the bricks.
Yeah,
it's work in constructing.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah,
and the medicine.
I see.
Don't forget the medicine.
Yeah, and the medicine. Okay, so the oil, how do you extract the oil?
Yeah, so there's many ways you can extract oil from it. So it just depends what you're looking for. So if you talk about the hemp, there's the seed where you derived oil from that.
Okay.
And then also there's milk that you can make out of the seed.
Okay, this one I heard today and I'm like, I'm not giving my child hemp milk.
Yeah, so this is hemp milk. So this would be the husk of the seed, which can be processed and used to make milk.
Mm-hmm.
Because a lot of places, people in general, people are not people are allergic to milk, you know. And also us as Africans, we found that a lot of us are lactose intolerant.
I am.
Exactly. And it's because you're not supposed to be drinking milk.
That's, okay.
That's why, you know, also people get sinuses and so on. So,
yeah.
So in other countries now, they've caught on to the fact that, okay, we need a non-dairy option, but we still want to have the milk. So then now this is where, so literally the plant can supplement and replace a lot of the current components used in industry. So if, even with the biofuels, for example,
so
people who are making biofuels using hemp derived, so instead of going and drilling into the earth and getting petroleum and oil and all that stuff, now you can actually use hemp as another energy replacement. And also because of its biodegradability, it beneficiates the soil and all that other stuff. So there's a lot of industries which it crosses across. And I think, what was it, 6,000 or 5,000 things can be made out of hemp.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. Okay. So next time I hear hemp, we're not thinking we're high on something.
100%.
Okay.
Yeah.
The oil.
Yeah.
So now, if it's, it can be used for pain.
Well, it depends.
Can the oil be used for pain?
It depends which oil. You know, so like there's stuff that you can put onto your salad or cook with, you know, that's one, then that's with the hemp. Mm-hmm. And then now when you're talking about medical cannabis, which is the one that's got all the, you know, different cannabinoids in it, then that depends. So if you're making it specifically for chronic pain, etc., then yeah, then it goes into your hands and then it can, because it reduces I've got this word now, because it's very important. So it basically, it reduces inflammation.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
So it reduces inflammation. So if you're suffering from chronic pain, arthritis, etc., then you prescribe a medicated cream which has whatever extracts it has. I'm not a doctor, I'm not a pharmacist.
No, so that's why we're not saying what it is. It needs to be prescribed,
yeah.
Okay? Not Temisade or Lindazide.
Prescribed, I don't know, like if you're suffering and you need something.
This podcast is sponsored by IQBar.
I've got good news and bad news. Here's the bad news. Most protein bars are packed with sugar and unpronounceable ingredients. The good news? There's a better option. I'm Will, and I created IQ Bar Plant Protein Bars to empower doers like you with clean, delicious, low-sugar brain and body fuel. IQ Bars are packed with 12 grams of protein, brain nutrients like magnesium and lion's mane, and zero weird stuff. And right now, you can get 20% off all IQ Bar products, plus free shipping. Try our delicious IQ Bar sampler pack with 7 plant protein bars, 4 hydration mixes, and 4 enhanced coffee sticks. Clean ingredients, amazing taste, and you'll love how you feel. Refuel smarter, hydrate harder, caffeinate larger with IQ Bar.
Go to eatiqbar.com and enter code BAR20 to get 20% off all IQ Bar products, plus free shipping. Again, go to eatiqbar.com and enter code BAR20.
And it's not going to kill you. You must find ways.
Yeah, you look for ways.
Yeah, I'm
asking about the pain and the oil, because I get headaches that I can't even describe it.
Okay.
I can't even describe it, which is why I started talking to you. Because your son had told me, he's a very smart chap, eh? And he said, oh, my dad deals in cannabis.
Yeah.
And I was taken aback, like, okay,
what
are you talking about? But you've got a very good ambassador there, both of them, him and the other chap.
Yeah, yeah.
They're very good. They're ready to take over the company anytime.
If
it's not arthritis, it's headache. Will it be the oil, or will it be something you need to drink, you need to swallow?
That really depends on, you know, what the health practitioner prescribes, who's the cannabis expert, you know, in that regard. Because either one method can do what you want, you know.
Yeah.
There's besides smoking, there's another one that's called I forgot the term now. But instead of smoking it, you can vaporize. So not the vapes that you're seeing now, but you actually take the flower, you put it into a thing called a vape, and then it basically heats it up to a certain temperature where it doesn't cause the combustion, but it just has almost like the vapor, the steam.
Okay.
And then that's a medical way of delivering it.
Okay.
And it's a faster way. That's why people like smoking.
Because from what I read, when you smoke it, it's in minutes you feel the effect.
Yeah, within
but minutes,
yeah.
if you digest it, it needs to first go to your digestive system.
2 or 3 hours. And it also depends on certain people. But then the effect can last up to 4 to 3 hours, depending on how much you've taken.
Okay.
So that's another thing that needs to be educated.
So you need to be careful, hey? Don't take it now, and then you have an important interview.
To drive or something.
And then you're mellow at the interview. Or when you're going to drive, no ways.
And I think it's really important to hit on the point of the endocannabinoid system. So in the cannabinoid system, so that's something all of us as human beings have, or people with vertebras, you know, the endocannabinoid system. And so it's interesting that nature has created the plant which interacts with the human's endocannabinoid system, which causes homeostasis in the body. So when you consume cannabis, this is what's happening. It interacts with your receptors that you have in your body, which then regulates your stuff. So if you're having like a headache or heartbeat or irregular blood pressure, or you're having heart, you know, any ailments that are going against the constitution of your health or your body, then cannabis comes in to regulate it using your endocannabinoid system. And that is something that they don't unfortunately teach in medical school. Because it's something that obviously, because of the legislation, well, because of the illegality of cannabis, you wouldn't talk about your endocannabinoid system. But many, many doctors are now coming out to try and understand what this thing is and how it can help their patients. Because a lot of things happen when someone's like, listen, I've been taking this stuff, you can try it. You know, and then they go to their doctors and they tell their doctors, they're like, okay, well, keep doing what you're doing, it's working, but don't tell me about it.
I don't want to know about it.
Exactly. And that's the interaction with your endocannabinoid system. So we all have it, you know.
We still got to be careful. I was reading just last week, and this was a medical report about this 84-year-old man that went to the hospital for something, can't remember what it was now, and were like, well, why is this not working? And this is feeling pain, and da-da-da. And then he said, well, you need to be sleeping. I wasn't sleeping. So it was on admission in hospital, and he wasn't sleeping. And it was after the 2 days, and he told the nurses that, oh, if only I had he had a name for it, I just need 2 puffs, and I'll be sleeping now. And we're like, oh, you didn't mention that? So that was a different with all the other medication he was taking.
Yes.
But for him, he needed sleep, and that's all he needed to do, and it was sleep. So you also have to be careful if you're taking chronic medication, especially,
100%.
And your age, all of that.
That we have to really emphasize that. I think that's really important to state, because we work with doctors who also come and lecture for us. And also we train doctors. We also have courses that train the doctors, the medical doctors. And it's very important to know, if you're going to start taking cannabis and you're on chronic medication, that needs to be defined as to what that...
You need to tell your doctor as well.
100%, because you also don't know how the interaction will be with the cannabis, especially if you're doing it for medicinal purposes. So that's really... I mean, as I understand people saying, like, it's natural and everything, that's cool, but at the same time...
Natural is not always good for you.
Right. Well, in excess, you know, those kind of things are really important. And that's what you should be mindful of. And I think also the other important thing is to actually do the research. I mean, like you've done, and also actually see what the actual benefits are. Because a lot of the time that what's happened to us as a society is that we get dictated by whoever's in charge what is the right thing to do, you know. And it changes every 10 years or whatever the case may be. I mean, not so long ago, it was okay to smoke cigarettes because your doctor prescribed it, you know. And that was Marlboro and all the different, you know, smoking brands. But now we all know smoking's bad for you. So that suddenly changed something else. I mean, just the other day, I was watching something, and now they're talking about how honey has higher fructose than actual sugar. And everyone's telling us that honey is a better alternative than sugar.
Honey, so, that's what I'm saying, because not everything that is natural is good for you. But I will take honey.
No, 100%. Oh, yeah.
But also, we have poisons that are natural.
Yeah, yeah.
Natural, there are leaves, there are mushrooms that are...
Yeah.
Yeah, I have to do something about that magic mushroom. Yeah. Why it's magic? Well, I know why it's magic.
We have a course on that with you.
On magic mushroom? 100%. Oh, my word.
Yeah, yeah, psilocybin, that's what they call it. So I think those are the things, mm-hmm. you know, and the thing is, our human population or humankind mm-hmm. Has been using cannabis right through all different countries. It's only when, you know, the legislators got involved. And also, if you think about it, it's a competitive advantage if you have something that can grow naturally, that can replace...
Pharmaceuticals are not going to like
right,
it.
Right.
They're not going to like it.
It can replace all of those things.
Oh, yes. Mm. We forgot about that. Mm. Yeah. I've got so many questions going through my head now.
Yeah.
I saw some things about some textiles that are made from the plant.
That's correct. Yeah.
Tell us about it.
So those come from China. So the Chinese. So when the United Nations in the 1960s or so, when the Nixon era did the war against drugs, so marijuana was one of the things that they targeted, the main thing, reefer madness and all this other stuff that they promulgated. Mm-hmm. The one thing, so the Chinese were like, okay, and the Indians were like, okay, fine, we'll stop, people from smoking marijuana and da da da, but we're not going to stop the industrial hemp because that's helping, we're building things, we're making textiles, etc. So they've advanced to such a degree that now you can see a finished fabric, which feels like cotton and whatever, but it's actually derived from hemp. So they would be number one in terms of the technology that's involved in developing that.
Still going to be expensive right now.
Yeah.
The hemp milk is expensive.
Yeah, so it's not cheap, but the clothes last forever. So I have a hemp shirt that's blended a little bit with cotton, and then that doesn't shrink and absorbs sweat, etc. And you wear it, And it's better than cotton because it's also not needing so much water to make it. So for the environment, it's better, and it's also durability. So that's another factor. And also the sails, Christopher Columbus and his sails were made out of hemp. The Declaration of Independence for America was written on hemp paper.
We do know it's been around forever.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's just I think the legislation had to come in.
Mm.
One, we were not as educated on it to start with.
Mm.
So it was all about people getting high and the effects on the body, right?
Yeah.
So when one, if an individual deliberately takes cannabis that is high on THC, it's because they want to get high.
100%.
Okay. High on THC, wants to get high.
100%.
It's because they want to get high.
Mm-hmm.
How do you go? Okay, so I'm going to say like American now because I don't think we have those shops here. You go into a shop and you want to buy medicinal cannabis. How do you know? Okay, I'm asking two questions in one. Sorry, I'm asking two questions. Like, my brain is overworking now. So we've got one that is high in THC because you want to get high. There's no ifs, ifs about it, not the medicinal. Okay. Now, if you want the medicinal one and you watch movies where they say, oh no, it's for my, it's prescribed. But from what you're saying, the prescription, what you buy in the shop, is very low.
Yes.
In CBD. So what are we doing?
So CBD, you won't need a prescription.
CBD,
prescription for. But for flower at a dispensary, you need a doctor's prescription.
Okay, so they know what they're selling you.
Well, they should.
Or they assume they know what they're selling.
No, they should. But a lot of the times there's no education for the person that's dispensing. Mm-hmm. So that's why we're here, so that we can help people understand the dosage. Because also that's something people don't really understand. That's when they get into trouble sometimes when they consume cannabis. But you're talking about high THC and why would people do that purposefully? That's the only way they can get cannabis, you know. And for some people, the euphoric feeling has a way of grounding you so there's a lot people need. So for example, I hate making this comparison, but I have to do it. So we're allowed to advertise and sell alcohol, right? Fully well knowing that if you over consume alcohol, it will cause people to drive badly and, you know, drunken driving.
Liver disease.
You know, all those kind of things. But it is allowed and regulated because they tax it, right?
Okay.
There's no benefits that it gives you, but it's okay. It's at the liquor shop, et cetera, and that's what it gives you. it's getting to that point, for example, in America, where in certain states it's legislated and therefore they have the dispensaries, people can go and have it. So you should be allowed as a human being to have the choice of whether I want to use this medicine, you know, for this ailment, but then also I want to be able to utilize cannabis for this because it helps me with my anxiety or my stress. Because a lot of people have that and they don't want to go onto pharmaceutical products which cause you know, untoward effects on them, whether it's sleep or depression or whatever else, you know, or lack of appetite. And so those are the options you should allow human beings to have, but also informing them as to like what are sort of like the outcomes that can happen on that. And I understand that you may be very passionate about it because you've seen it from another aspect, but there was no education there also. Mm. So I think those are the things that we need to also keep in mind, is that once you have an educated populace, then they'll know exactly what is right. And then also, once you regulate the industry, then we know what we're selling to people is safe for them to consume. And that's why the legal, because regardless whether it's, I mean, I know in Nigeria it's illegal, right? But there's still people, you know, the super.
It's been forever, right?
But it's one of the highest consumers in Africa of cannabis come from Nigeria.
I think it's because we're so many.
Exactly. So those are the things, you know. So it is going to be accessible to people whether it's legal or not, and it has been. But it's really about how do we control it in a way that it doesn't cause harm to the people that are around, especially children and also the labor, you know, all those kind of things.
Now, my problem, because actually it's sounding very interesting, and nobody come and ask me if I'm taking it. It sounded very interesting to me, but my challenge, and I think that's probably where legislation and everything comes in, is when does it be? It can easily become addictive, can't it?
So can
if
alcohol.
I feel,
so can
alcohol. Oh no, but no, so but we know, but we know, yes. So how? Okay, so say I like the taste of, because I think there's some chocolates or something, CBD lollies and all of that.
Yeah.
Even though you're saying it's so small in it. Everybody's body is different, and how things work in your body.
100%.
And if someone finds that, wow, this is kind of nice, you know. How do we stop it? I don't. Okay. Will you say I can buy CBD lolly for my daughter, for example?
Yeah, you could.
For children.
Yeah, you can. So CBD. Remember again, it's not psychoactive.
Yes.
It's got apparently all the all the benefits that you would have, but also the dosage is different and so on. But also be very careful about where and how it's labeled, because there will be people selling CBD, but it's not CBD. It's actually got THC in it. Mm-hmm. So it's very important to know what it is. But to be honest, if it's 100% CBD and it's in a lolly, you're not going to feel any difference from another lolly or another chocolate or another thing. Because there isn't that thing that's going to make you, oh, this is different from the other stuff.
So what if I need it as a relaxant? Do I also need to go and get a medical...
Look, that, so the medical stuff is really with the THC, but with the CBD, it's everywhere. You can pick it up anywhere you want, and for some people it may cause them to be a little bit calmer and feel less stress and less anxiety. In other people it's different. Like you said, everyone's biological makeup is
Yeah, I found that out with the Indian Zoom. That was what I was smoking.
And then also, what were you smoking? Because also that's the other thing. And what
it was in a wrap. It was something that was wrapped up. And it was quite interesting, the old thing, you know, you're looking at, it looks like leaves or it's not leaves, you don't know. Yeah. And then it's wrapped up. And you see at the shrine, I don't know if it's still like that today, but at the shrine, everybody's...
This podcast is sponsored by IQ Bar.
I've got good news and bad news. Here's the bad news. Most protein bars are packed with sugar and unpronounceable ingredients. The good news? There's a better option. I'm Will, and I created IQ Bar Plant Protein Bars to empower doers like you with clean, delicious, low-sugar brain and body fuel. IQ bars are packed with 12 grams of protein, brain nutrients like magnesium and lion's mane, and zero weird stuff. And right now, you can get 20% off all IQ bar products, plus free shipping. Try our delicious IQ bar sampler pack with 7 plant protein bars, 4 hydration mixes, and 4 enhanced coffee sticks. Clean ingredients, amazing taste, and you'll love how you feel. Refuel smarter, hydrate harder, caffeinate larger with IQ Bar.
Go to eatiqbar.com and enter code BAR20 to get 20% off all IQ Bar products, plus free shipping. Again, go to eatiqbar.com and enter code BAR20.
Meet on their cars. Mm. And you see people from all walks of life. Mm, mm, mm. You know, everybody knows what's going on at the shrine. But it's good music. I liked it. I enjoyed the music.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was. But it wasn't my kind of environment, you know, because I think some people are already addicted. There's no ifs, ands about it. And it wasn't really my kind of my kind of thing, but it was something that I had to experience. For me, there are things I just have to experience. Same reason why I took it, you know, I wanted to like, to what is it like? But then I realized, look, this is not for me.
Look, the thing is, the thing about human habit is that we can abuse anything, you know.
That's true.
We can, I mean, there's even a...
Can I abuse chocolate?
I found out that the people can get addicted to water. They can overdose on water.
Apparently you can drown by drinking water.
Yeah, too much water and people go through that. So ultimately, end of the day, people are going to do what they want to do, you know. And all we can do is just... That's why in pharmaceutical products, like, there's warning labels, don't take more than after 3 days. I mean, one of the things that I think is also interesting to note is that in Florida, there's what they call an aging economy. So there's like the aged, like they're in their 60s, 70s.
Yeah, they're not dying.
Right. And they're taking chronic opioids, chronic pain management pharmaceutical products. And they're getting addicted to them.
Like that's why all the opium stuff came up. Yeah.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So now what they found is that people are using cannabis to actually get off the opioids. Yeah. Okay. And then also as an alternative to chronic pain management. Mm. So that's another sort of thing that I think also needs to be highlighted. And look, I'm not going to be trying to say cannabis is good for everyone and every like everyone's different. And everyone has a different threshold of tolerance, etc. So it's really about finding what works for you and what can be beneficial. But based on all the other, you know, evidence that's out there about what cannabis can do, it's definitely a cure for certain things that people can utilize. It's just finding what's the correct dosage for you and not to abuse it, you know, in the sense of abusing, you know. Because also I believe as much as you can take it recreationally, as they say, there's also that element of, I need to take this so that I can survive during the week because I have so much stress. So I have my children, my anxiety.
I think we're crossing over there.
Yeah, yeah.
By the time we get to that, if I don't take this, I mean, it's like my coffee, which I said to everyone I was going to. And this morning, as I woke up, if you're a coffee addict, you know. Coffee, you know, it's like it's alcohol, for example. Yeah. I think coffee is the most legal drug ever. Mm. Unless you're not a coffee addict, you don't actually know.
Yeah, yeah.
But if you are, you know that when you wake up, nothing is right until you've had that cup. Once you've had that cup, then it's like, oh yeah, so what now? Mm. Even just the smell. Mm. Like, okay, I need. At this moment, I have to say to myself, you're not going to take that coffee.
Okay, so
I haven't taken it. So.
I can't drink coffee. It makes me sick. It makes me dizzy.
Look at that.
I can't sleep. Caffeine in totality.
I know that I've done way more than I should. It's got to that point where I need more teaspoons of coffee. So it's got to be strong, it's got to be sweet, and I don't take milk because I'm lactose intolerant. So it's not
You can take hemp milk, you can put some hemp milk in
there. No, it's okay. I like my coffee the way it is.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's the same thing with when it gets to that point and you feel that I need this thing just to get through the week. You know you're getting addicted. You're getting addicted. When I'm at home, and it's a funny thing, my coffee addiction, when I'm at work, it's standard. We're coming in, everybody's going to you're going to get coffee or tea, whatever it is. And if you're an educator, you need one of the other. There's no ifs, ands. But I realized that even sometimes, it's just become a habit. You just walk through the kitchen and make yourself a cup of... I don't think, I mean, I'm here. What's the time now? It's past 3 or 3. I don't know. I've survived through half of the day. So, but when it's something like cannabis, I think when you, just like cigarettes, people, I know teachers will have to go out and smoke. They just can.
Because the nicotine.
Yes, because they
So one of the things, one of the things that they've also, cannabis is non-addictive, but it doesn't mean that it's not habit forming. Yes. So therefore, okay. This thing of wanting.
I'm doing English now. Okay.
This is the thing of wanting to have it. But that doesn't say that maybe some people do get addictive, because again, it's about our biological makeup.
Yes.
So it's a statement that you can state, but end of the day, it's really about the individual and like what works for them and what their tolerances are.
Yeah, that's it. Wow, this is, I mean, it's so interesting. I'm thinking, I still have so many questions. So if all these other questions come up, I will do it. A part two, we do a sequel this one.
Hopefully
but right now,
now,
I think. But right now, I think I think you've said enough for anyone to have a good foundation on what it is, you know, and not to, because sometimes we also because of our biases, we judge people.
100%.
But I know that because I've experienced pain myself, and I know people who have been in pain. You know, really like. Wow, I can't go through this because I have a zero threshold of pain. It's not like my threshold. I have a zero. Right. There's nothing. There's nothing. Yeah. I can sit and start crying anywhere when I'm in pain.
Yeah.
So when people are taking certain things and you don't know the why, and it's something that is illegal, you're like, now they're into drugs. They're using it as an excuse, but you don't know what they're going through.
Exactly.
You don't know what they're going through.
Yeah, yeah.
So I would like to say that this has given enough information.
Sure.
Wherever you're listening, and I've got listeners. I think I've got listeners all over the world. Actually.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. So. It gives us a better understanding of what we're getting into.
Yeah.
And if doctors are saying, why don't you try this? Mm-hmm. We know what it is they're talking about. Or at least we have an idea.
Yeah.
And you can go educate yourself more. Mm. Also, I think, maybe medical doctors are not doing, but I think homeopathic, they're probably prescribing something.
Yeah.
Oh, let me ask, are we allowed to grow?
100%.
In our house?
100%.
And so now when you grow in your house, don't turn a whole bedroom into a plant.
That
because then it's illegal.
That is,
you've crossed it.
Well, what is illegal? So is it
what, 100, one pot,
is it 100 or is it two plants? Or,
isn't there legal legislation on what is illegal?
There's no limit.
So why are people getting arrested?
So the challenge now is about the policeman or the police law enforcement who's coming to your house. There was a recent communique from the Commissioner of Police, and they basically stated that you can only go and arrest someone if there has been proper proof that's been documented and evidence to go into that, and also you've been given an actual warrant to go into that person's house to actually search them. As it stands right now, there isn't a limit in terms of how many plants you can have in your house. Just like how many vodka bottles you have, no one comes.
No, but really, ideally, say it's for recreational purposes.
Yes.
You need maybe one or two pots.
Well, that depends.
You say it grows quite quickly.
Yeah. Well, yeah, but that depends on you. Maybe you need three or four plants, you know, because maybe your biology needs more of them. But then also, you need to prove. I don't know how they do that. That you are doing this for personal use.
I think if it's just one pot, seriously.
Yeah.
And when I say pot, I don't mean like a huge, you know, those huge decorative pots.
Yeah.
No.
Like
maybe one pot on my balcony with the, I don't know, with the other stuff just in there, somewhere in there, there's a pot of there's a pot of pots.
So the pot of pots. So the beautiful thing about our constitution is that it allows us, our current constitution allows us to grow cannabis for ourselves. So if you don't want to trust anything or you don't trust
what you're getting outside.
Yeah, so just grow your own, you know, at the end of the day, if you have the ability.
I was going to say now you have to go buy the seeds and all of that. Okay, so let's talk about your school. Let me take this to your school.
Sure,
So the school is called
Chiba Cannabis Academy.
See, they're not hiding. There's no there's no sleight of hand here. It's Chiba's Cannabis Academy.
Yeah, because even Chiba means cannabis in slang in Spanish.
Okay,
yeah.
So I can say, are you in Chibas?
Yeah. But no, it's an old word, but yeah.
So what does the school do?
So we basically have an online platform, ChibaAfrica.com, and there we have some online courses that we offer to people all over the world.
Okay.
You can, sign up for one of our courses, and if you want to learn about the cannabis industry, how it works, how the cannabis works with your body as a medical practitioner, or even just out of interest. Okay. There are those courses which have been cited and vetted, mm-hmm. And therefore are able for you to have the confidence to know that the information that you're getting is credible. Okay. And then also here at our campus, we have a 12-week program that we offer to our, to anybody really of age. You have to be over 18.
Okay.
And here we teach you about cultivating cannabis, medical aspects of cannabis, business, and then also hemp, which fits into our wellness side of things. And then you get to make your hemp bricks, your hemp rope, and then also you get to design your own business, which is part of our offering. And then after you finish the course, there's an internship that you can do.
Okay.
And then also we do offer training for government officials. We were in Malawi last year. And then also the Gauteng Department of Agriculture, we gave them training, and now we're heading off to the Eastern Cape to go and train about 100 farmers in hemp as part of the thing, because hemp is now legal for you to grow if you have a hemp permit in South Africa. So the those aspects that we do, and then also we have a consultancy.
Yes.
So anywhere in the world, if it's legal, we can come and help you build your farm or your facility that you want to build.
Okay, and you also have... what is Delicious?
So Chiba Delicious is our non-profit, which basically houses our cannabis brand. So we have a club at our campus, and then this club basically allows the members to come and share in the cannabis. And the way that comes from is that you are allowed by the constitution to grow cannabis for your own personal use,
mm-hmm.
but what happens if you don't have a balcony, and let's say you don't have you don't have a garden, etc. How are you going to grow the cannabis then for yourself?
Okay.
So then you can contract someone to grow it for your on your
okay.
behalf.
Mm-hmm.
Just like someone would look after your rose garden or whatever,
okay.
this is the same sort of like arrangement. And then at the end of your harvest, when it's time to share, to basically harvest the cannabis, mm-hmm. it then comes to the club where people can come and pick it up.
Okay. Does it smell?
Yes. It has a beautiful smell. It is a certain...
I think that's going to be debatable.
Well, it's debatable to the point of if you like something that smells of herbs, because that's what it
there
is.
There is herbs, there is herbs.
Yeah.
One of the offices that I went into, I know that strong smell.
Yeah.
And I know, okay, I think, I don't know, maybe I'm wrong. I just think the more potent it is, the stronger the smell. Or is that just the natural smell?
Well, each one will smell...
differently.
Pretty differently because of the terpene profile. Some will smell like lemon, some will smell like lavender, some will smell like apple. It just really depends what the cultivator has mixed, you know, in his soil, etc.
Okay.
And what he's trying to come out with. But that's the thing. And yeah, look, it's really about, it's a subjective thing, really, you know.
It looks like, for those who are wondering, it looks like I'm not going to be growing any soon because... I've got a very strong sense of smell.
Oh, okay.
So I get headaches. The minute you walked past that place, my head was
that
like,
might be
wow.
There might be some of the nutrients, etc.
Oh my word, it's going to blow my head now.
Yeah.
And I've not even smoked anything
all
at
right,
all.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, you also have a TV on you.
So
Chiba Cannabis TV.
Yeah, Chiba Cannabis TV. So when we came out, so one of the biggest sort of limitations to anyone with a cannabis business is marketing and advertising. So you can't do paid for advertising online. So you can't use Facebook, you can't do Instagram and all that kind of stuff. Very recently, I think you can do Twitter, you can, but all the other platforms that everyone's on, you can't really do that. So we created our own content, and then we have the platform, which was Chiba Cannabis TV, where we would have interviews with doctors, lawyers, etc. And then also we hosted a lot of our webinars there to just showcase that this is an actual developed industry, and it's something people who have gone to school have gone to learn, and then now they're sharing their knowledge with the rest of the world. So that got taken and it was put on DSTV. So the first time cannabis education was on anything on television was with us. And we had a series which ran for about, I think, a year with all the content that we got over 200 videos there. And then we started doing a webinar show. And then that also got taken and run as a season on DSTV and one of the channels. And so anyone who's interested, Chiba Cannabis TV, go and check it out and just learn a little bit more from the medical side, industrial, commercial, etc.
Wow, it's been a great afternoon. I did, truthfully, I did come with some biases, I will say, but after doing my study, I was like, there's more to this than I thought, and it's not me just falling I sleep over one puff.
You can if you
over
want.
One puff of Lord knows what I was puffing.
Yeah, yeah.
But thank you so much, Linda, that we finally did this. And yes, we're getting into 2024 on a high. Not a high. We're not smoking anything here. I'm just saying to everybody listening, on a high of the expectations of the year 2024.
Excellent.
Thank you. This has been Coffee with Timmy.
I appreciate it.